In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There was once a sculptor who worked hard with hammer and chisel on a large block of marble. A little child was watching him and saw nothing more than large and small pieces of stone falling away left and right. The child had no idea what was happening. But when the boy returned to the studio a few weeks later, he saw, to his amazement, a large, powerful lion sitting in the place where the marble block had once stood. With great excitement, the boy ran to the sculptor and said, "Sir, tell me, how did you know there was a lion in the marble?" In the coming 3 weeks, we will hear Jesus speaking parables of the kingdom to the crowds. And the disciples are puzzled why he's not teaching in the way he had taught them on the Sermon on the Mount. Now, the compilers of our lectionary omit some important verses today. So we've heard the parable, and then we hear Jesus explaining it, but he actually explained it to his disciples, not to the crowd. And we have this little section in the middle. And Jesus says in that little section omitted today that he is fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah. "The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. For this people's heart has grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing. They have shut their eyes so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." We know that many of the people who listened to Jesus did not necessarily agree with his teaching or his manner of life. Others were more concerned about seeing something miraculous, if you like, being entertained. Still others were hostile to him, and they kept a close eye on him. This was true particularly of the priests, the Pharisees, and the scribes. It's easy to think that the crowds that followed Jesus were the emerging church. Far from it. As we know, at the time of the arrest of Jesus, most of the crowd were clamoring for his blood. Therefore, we should take at face value the words of Jesus that he deliberately chooses to use parables to hide his message. Now, it's also the case that many of us here were taught at Sunday school that the parables are simply allegories, stories where you can take the various people, places, and things that make up the story and simply replace them with other people, other places, other things to explain the story. But whilst Jesus does use allegory, his parables are far more complex and as much about the use of metaphor than allegory. Like the boy watching the sculptor, his parables require an exploration of the various levels of understanding until a remarkable truth is revealed. "Sir, tell me, how did you know there was a lion in the marble?" The parable of the sower is so often interpreted as a story about individual responses to the gospel message, about how I, as a follower of Jesus, use the gift of the seed of the word of God given to me. However, see the seed as the community of faith, as Israel, then the parable takes on a quite different meaning. Let's get the context. Jesus is sitting in a boat on the lake with this huge crowd in front of him. Now, there's a wonderful, unfinished, huge painting by the British visionary painter Stanley Spencer from the 20th century. And it's called Christ Preaching at Cookham Regatta. He's sitting on the River Thames in a wonderful punt on a rattan chair, leaning forward with a stroke boater on his head. It is the most wonderful image. And I'd love you to go and search it on the internet, and you'll see it there. And have a look at how disinterested some people are. People going about their business. Now, note that Jesus does not use imagery in the parable that would be obvious, the most obvious. Fishing. Fish. Fishermen. Or boats. Or perhaps the seashore. Or even water. On this boat, Jesus instead chooses an agricultural theme, the significance of which would not have been lost on its hearers. The prophets often described Israel in agricultural terms, such as the seed, or the field, or the plant, or the vineyard. Look at today's lesson from Isaiah. It is God who is the sower in spite of the exile of the people to Babylon. God sows the seed even during the exile to Babylon, but the prophet knows the stubbornness of the people, how easily they could be distracted, how easily they fall away from the Lord, which led to the exile in the first place. But the seed of God, the seed that God sows, is powerful. Note that much of it is wasted. But that which is not wasted produces growth, and not just a little bit of growth. The growth will be truly remarkable. In Isaiah's prophecy, instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And the beautiful metaphor of the valleys singing and the trees clapping their hands. So when Jesus gives the interpretation of the parable to his disciples, after telling them that he was fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah, he is most likely speaking of the people of Israel, God's chosen people, rather than the individuals that made up that community of faith. He was reminding them that preaching the kingdom is hard, that people are often unreceptive, as the prophets of old discovered. And ultimately, the parable is about Jesus himself. Jesus is the sower. Jesus is the one who is sowing the word of God, sowing the seed that is the new Israel. And if they, the disciples, follow in his footsteps, they shouldn't be surprised at the amount of waste. So much seed that does not germinate or withers or is taken away by something else or is choked to death. Was not this the case with Jesus' own ministry? As God's agent, as God's sower, if you will. So many were unable to recognize Jesus. So few were able to realize that God was again calling his people back to himself. N.T. Wright puts it so simply. He says that this parable tells the story of Israel, particularly the return from exile, with a paradoxical conclusion. And he says, it tells the story of Jesus' ministry as the fulfillment of that larger story with a paradoxical outcome. Which takes me back to my sermon of 2 weeks ago and the prophetic ministry of Oscar Romero, whose final sermon was paradoxically about the grain of wheat that needed to die in order to produce a rich harvest. My friends, we live in a world where individualism is encouraged, where fulfilling your own dream is what really matters. During the pandemic, I think this has become acute because of social distancing imposed on so many of us for so long, and the fact we had to close the doors of our places of worship. And let's be honest, it doesn't take the rain to keep us away from church these days. It's so much easier to worship remotely, online, than to take the trouble to go to church and sit with the people that, let's be honest, we don't really like to be with. The struggle, well, except for you three there, the struggle for us now as we approach our bicentennial is, how do we become a new community in this post-pandemic world where the seed sprouts and grows, recognizing that Jesus has already warned us that all the work we do, a lot of it will be wasted. But how can we search for the realization of something which will be remarkable, not necessarily what I want, but what Jesus the sower wants? How do we learn to sow the seed that Jesus wants us to sow? My friends, the parable of the sower is the first of a whole series of parables we will hear over the next 3 weeks. And they're known as the parables of the kingdom. And this first one, as N.T. Wright suggests, is also a parable about the ministry of Jesus. And therefore, because he shared it with his disciples, it's a parable about our ministry here at St. Thomas Church. It speaks to us not simply as individual followers of Jesus, but it speaks to us as a community of faith. How that community will respond to God's word. How that community will proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, so there is no misunderstanding. Jesus is not saying the church is the kingdom of God. Far from it. But flawed as the church has the task of proclaiming that kingdom which Jesus came to sow and to reveal in his very person as the seed that had to die to bear much fruit. My friends, much of our work may very well be wasted, but when it comes to fruition, like the prophets of old and like Jesus says, it will be truly remarkable. Listen to what Jesus said to his disciples about this very parable. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly, I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it.